Joining us on the program, nutritional consultant and healthy living advocate, Pam Colleen. How are you, Pam?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I am excellent. I read a story over the weekend in the Toronto Star, but I'll tell you why it fascinated me, because I have a fellow staff member here who will go unnamed, who lost 30 plus pounds. And I go, what did you do? Like, how did you lose the weight? I cut out pop. I go, what? That's it. I cut out pop. I was drinking 3-4 pops a day, and I eliminated it, replaced it with water. I lost the weight. I'm like, really? One of the things we don't understand is how many calories are in our beverages. All these liquid calories. And I'm starting to understand they're not the same as other calories, are they?
Well, you know, I always say sugar is sugar is sugar. It really doesn't matter what form it's in. And it's if you do too much sugar in general, it's going to damage your biochemistry. It's going to damage your health. So it's actually less about calories than it is about the effects of sugar on the body.
So it's more about sugar then?
Yeah, it's about sugar and how much sugar we're taking in. And for many people who are drinking things like juice and pop, energy drinks, whatever the case may be, you know, they may be taking in at least 20% of their daily intake of calories from, these sugary drinks. And really, our bodies are not designed for drinking that, or for taking in that much sugar. You know, we only have one hormone to deal with sugar, and that's insulin. And so if we were to, you know, if we were designed to take in that much sugar, of course, we would have some sort of backup system, and we simply don't. So essentially what's happening is the carbohydrates or the sugar are driving insulin, and insulin is driving fat. So that's the mechanism by which, you know, this obesity or diabetes epidemic is taking place. It's basically a hormonal problem that we have because we're just taking in too many carbohydrates and too much direct sugar, of course, from these highly processed drinks.
And what's interesting is when we go back through our evolutionary development, it's only in the last 100 years or so when we've ingested all this liquid sugar, that before we would mostly intake water, some milk, and maybe because of cleaning water may have been a problem. So this is why we developed beer, for instance. But certainly we don't see our ancestors growing up didn't have all these juices, all these pops, all these energy drinks.
No, they did not. And really, it's the result of the Industrial Revolution, which led to, of course, the assembly lines. And then in the late 1800s is when we start to see the rise of things like Coke and Pepsi. And then, of course, after World War II is when we start to see the rise of the orange juice industry. You know, these are highly, highly processed foods. They're shelf-stable. But really, they have no room in terms of our health. They're not. It doesn't matter what kind of health claims a product might make. I mean, they're just plain unhealthy for you. So, yes, exactly what you're saying is true. When you go back in history and you look at what we would have consumed, you know, from generations ago, we would have consumed fresh water, clean water, hopefully. We would have had raw milk. We would have had other lacto-fermented drinks that were not necessarily alcoholic, but things like kvass is a lacto-fermented drink, which is actually relatively medicinal. It's actually good for you. So, you know, we had other choices many, many years ago, and none of these choices were actually bad for us. They were good for us.
And what's also interesting is when we eat solid food, because of the proteins and the fats, it signals to our body through, you know, through chemical signaling, there's a bit of a satiety factor there. Hey, you just ate. You know what? You don't have to eat anymore. That, in most drinks, isn't there, except for ones, you know, like raw milk, for instance, or any milk where it's like it has both fat and protein. It's like, hey, you know what? You've consumed enough. When you're talking about pop or any sort of juice, it's just sugar, and it's not telling your body. So not only are you going to drink it, you're still gonna have a solid meal afterwards, and the body doesn't get the signal you've had too much.
That's right. Yeah. So your signal of satiety is skewed at some level, and it's even potentially worse when you're drinking diet drinks as well. A lot of the synthetic sweeteners, of course, have devastating side effects that you're not hearing about from the people who are supposed to be protecting us, Health Canada. You know, the research that they're relying upon is industry-funded. It's industry-based or marketing-based research. They're not looking at independent truly independent research that's coming out that shows devastating side effects from consuming these synthetic sugars, whether it's aspartame or Splenda or whatever the case may be. You know, these sugars can damage your nervous system, can cause things like brain tumors, can interfere with your digestion and your flora and your gut, for example, can decrease sperm count, can lead to or increase a woman's risk for miscarriage, and so on. And unfortunately, you know, we're just not being told this because these are highly marketed products, and mainstream media, of course, sells these products through their commercials. And, you know, if they say anything damaging about these products during their newscasts, their sponsors are just not happy. So we're not getting the information we should in order to better protect our families from these products that have potentially, dangerous side effects.
You know, it's always, we always snicker and we always laugh where someone goes and, let's say, gets the jumbo-sized meal at a fast food place and a Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. You know, we always look at that as like, you're really saving calories by getting a Diet Coke. When in fact, the Diet Coke actually may be doing more damage. Where the Diet Coke is like, you know what, that's the worst thing you should have with that supersized meal.
Right. In fact, the research shows that if you're drinking Diet Pop, you're doubling your risk for developing obesity. So, you know, they're really not helping in terms of weight loss or weight control. If anything, what they're doing is you're putting in a toxin in the body that could lead to things like brain tumors. So, you know, they just stay away from anything that a caveman wouldn't recognize. You know, if a caveman wouldn't recognize it, don't consume it. It's really that simple. We've seen the rise of what I call big food over the last 100-150 years. And since we've seen the rise of big food, we've seen the rise of chronic disease and mental disorders and obesity as well. So it's this correlation between all of these nutrient-deficient, damaging foods that we really have to take into consideration. We can't just say, you know, we have to rely on dietitians and nutritionists that are, you know, telling us that, you know, Diet Pop is fine. It's not fine. It's not a good alternative. We can't look at orange juice and just because it says it's got added vitamin C or vitamin D or whatever they're adding to it, that somehow it miraculously makes it healthy. None of these claims is true. We just need to stay away from these newfangled foods. And the more you stay away from the newfangled foods, the healthier you're going to be.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, wellness expert, joining us on the program today, talking about liquid calories and how often we overlook them and how we load our body up and we think, oh, it's just a drink. And how many hidden calories there are in the liquids we consume. But when we come back, maybe I'll get Pam to tell us some of the good liquids we can put into our body, because when you're 75% water, you have to make sure you get enough liquids into you. 10:16 is our time. My name's Tom McConnell. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. It's after 10 o'clock. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, wellness expert, telling us how to improve our lives. Pam, when we look at the basics someone needs, first thing I need is oxygen. I can go about 5 minutes without oxygen. Then I need water, but I can go 7 days without water. Food, though, I can go a month, 6 weeks without really eating. So water is so critical to our body. When about two-thirds to three-quarters of the average body is composed of just water, mm-hmm. We have to make sure we get an adequate liquid supply. When you talk to your students, what do you recommend in terms of the liquids they take into their body?
Right, and that's a loaded question. I could go on for hours about water. The bottom line is, Tom, there is no perfect answer for water today. There is no perfect answer. So following this, whatever I say, you have to keep that in mind. Okay?
Okay. All right.
So really, yes, you want to stay hydrated. So if your perfect choice at the moment is to drink tap water, then so be it. It's not the best choice, but at least you're drinking in something to hydrate you. If you're at a restaurant, same thing goes. If you don't want to spend the money on bottled water, then drink tap water, and hopefully you're in a city that doesn't fluoridate. I'm a big critic of the bottled water industry. Keep that in mind when I say this. I do not like the bottled water industry, but if you can find a local bottled water source that from a company that isn't exploiting local residents because they're not paying taxes or they're not draining the aquifers dry, if they're doing ecological and environmental practices appropriately and people are not complaining about these companies, then maybe a local bottled water company that is doing proper bottling, then you might want to pick that bottled water. And why? Because really, if you're buying bottled water from a really good source, you're going to get the balance of minerals. It's not going to be demineralized, in other words.
And so, and the body, and to point out, some people always, you know, what about distilled water? But water actually, if it's not mineralized, leaches minerals out of our body.
Yes, yes. In fact, distilled water is hungry water. Reverse osmosis is also, it's not a good choice. I used to drink reverse osmosis water. Now I don't do that anymore. You want to make sure that the water is mineralized. So a good company, a local company that is bottling, is probably going to be your best choice, unfortunately, because I don't like the plastic. But I want to be healthy, and I want to make sure I'm getting the proper balance of minerals, and that's my priority. So I take myself into account when I think about the minerals and bottled water. You know, and hopefully you have a good recycling program in your neck of the woods, and so hopefully the impact of the plastic is not going to be as great.
Okay, so we'll start at the gold standard for you, non-fluoridated tap water, then maybe bottled water.
Well, I think for me, it's I'm in the fluoridated community, so it's got to be bottled water for me, because I won't drink distilled, and I won't drink reverse osmosis.
Okay, then after our waters, what do you tell your students to put into their bodies?
Essentially, raw milk would be the next choice. That way you're getting the fat-soluble vitamins, you're getting some good flora, some good probiotics for your digestion, some minerals as well from the milk. So raw milk would be the next choice down the ladder. And then from there, of course, if people are making their own lacto-fermented drinks like kvass, kvass is an Eastern European drink that they make from the base is being sourdough bread, and it's fermented. It's delicious, but it's also very good for you because it's giving you some probiotics to help your digestion. So if they're ambitious and they make their own lacto-fermented drinks, then that would be another choice as well.
Now, obviously, none of us are perfect in terms of our beverage choices, but what are the real ones you would limit in terms of either cutting out or saying not more than maybe, you know, a couple of cups a week?
Right. I mean, if you're drinking any kind of juice, you just want to dilute it for sure. You want to dilute it with some bubbly water. Even, I hate to say this, even club soda, something to merge people off these sugary substances. Keep in mind that one glass of juice can contain 30, even 40 grams of sugar in there. And I tell my students, I don't want people eating more than 72 grams of sugar per day, or of carbohydrates per day, I should say. So, you know, eating more than 72 grams of carbohydrates per day can be very dysregulating for your blood sugar levels. And if you're drinking one glass of orange juice a day, that's half of what I would recommend in a day in terms of your carbohydrate intake. So if you were to take that glass of juice and cut it in half and perhaps turn that into 20 grams of sugar, diluted with some bubbly water or what have you, that's not as bad. And I want to say on that note as well, I still, you know, a lot of people are out there juicing, Tom. They're buying juicers, and they're making carrot juice. I say the same thing about carrot juice. I don't care how healthy people are saying it is. It's still a concentrated source of sugar, and it's still not going to be good for you.
All right, and then finally, let me ask you, and this is where we're going to cringe, I think. Alcohol is that other liquid that we like to enjoy. How much in terms of, because it's also, people don't realize the hidden calories and the damage alcohol can do, but it's been in our culture for thousands of years. So what do you recommend to your students in terms of their alcohol intake?
Absolute moderation. I'm no Puritan. I don't believe in that at all. I think people want to go out and they want to socialize, have a glass of beer, have some wine, spirits, whatever they want to do. I think it's fine, but in absolute moderation. If I'm working with people, however, who are very, very sick, you know, the people who are really struggling on a daily basis with chronic fatigue, depression, what have you, it's probably not wise to take in a concentrated source of sugar like that.
But the average guy like me,
I think going out and enjoying a beer or two, you know, on an occasional basis is absolutely fine. I wouldn't do it on a daily basis,
yeah.
Tom.
Okay. Yeah. And then what, if, is there a way to counter effect the alcohol? Is there anything you can do to, when you're out drinking, do I make sure I have water as well? Or do I make sure I eat as well to slow the effects of alcohol?
I would make sure you're eating lots of animal fat, because eating lots of animal fat will increase your body's ability to detoxify more effectively. So, eat your butter, eat your chicken skin, eat your beef, you know.
I heard eggs, cysteine, eggs. The cysteine in the eggs, certainly, maybe this is for hangovers, but I do on December 31st on our New Year's Eve show, I go over the science of a hangover, and scientists have said greasy foods help, fatty foods help, but eggs, especially the morning after, the cysteine helps our liver detoxify the alcohol.
Yes, and the sulfur as well. And so what you want to do, yes, eat lots of eggs anyway, but if you are going out, you know, drink always on a full stomach as well. You know, so you're diluting some of that alcohol. It's not as damaging on your liver. So, you know, absolutely, have a full meal and enjoy your steak and potato and make sure the potato is loaded with butter and high-fat sour cream.
Pam, always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Will do. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks.
Take care.
You always wonder. You always hope that the nutritionist doesn't say you got to cut out alcohol completely. You got to knock it off. And I don't drink much anymore, but I'm like, I couldn't do that. I could not go a week without maybe a glass of wine or maybe one beer or something like that. But it's like, all right, good. You can have a couple. The juice, yeah, that's the one. And we know a guy, Kevin Jack, 30 pounds, cut out the pop. What'd you do? I cut out pop. That's it? That is it. No changes to its diet whatsoever. So if you want to lose weight and you find yourself drinking a lot of juice or pop, maybe that's the culprit.